we believe when we have something, then we will be something. And that is not true. We have to be something, and the have will follow suit. So we need to rethink and, again, live from within where we live, our inner world. Be happy in your inner world, and everything else will fall into place.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Grow Yourself Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin McNulty, and this is your Personal Development School of Growth, where each week my guests and I will bring and break down big ideas and practices that will help you learn, grow, and succeed in life. Thanks for checking us out. Now let the growth begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grow Yourself. I'm your host, Kevin McNulty, where I break down the abstracts of personal growth and life into practical steps to help us learn, grow, and change our lives. I'm so thrilled today to have my guest, Marina Shakur Haber, with us. She's an author of the book, Your GPS Happiness. Take a guess what we're going to talk about today. You know, this is an important topic because we're living in a time where people seem to value achievement, frankly, over well-being and happiness. And I get it. And so my guest wrote a book, you know, that really is such a refreshing reminder that we can take control of our own happiness and live fulfilling lives. So whether you're feeling unhappy or stressed or just simply looking for more joy in your life, I believe there's something here in this podcast for you in this episode. So we'll be discussing the importance of personal responsibility, the role of relationships in our happiness, and even some just practical steps that you can take to start living a more fulfilling life. You know, I will say that I met Marina at an author's summit, if you will. And I will tell you the first thing that I noticed about her, and I'm saying this very sincerely, was really her kind and beautiful spirit. And, well, just see for yourself. So please welcome Marina Shakur Haber.
Thank you, Kevin. So happy to be here.
Thank you, Marina. It's so wonderful to have you here. And thank you for taking the time and spending, some time with us. And listen, you know, before we kind of get into the topic, if you will, I would love if you would just tell our audience a little bit about, you know, who is Marina? Who are you?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. Well, I called myself many times a mutt. Well, because I don't belong to any particular group, and therefore I'd established that I belong to all. I was born.
Well.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was born in Iran to my parents were, my father was half Iranian German, my mother was Dutch. And my mother was very psychic, and she believed that the regime under the Shah would not last. And she didn't want us to grow up as in a culture where you depend on others doing your things. If you were of any means, it was the servant kind of mentality. People did it. And she said, not my children. We need to have them live in Europe and grow up in Europe and be educated there. So we moved to Munich.
Wow.
My father stayed in Iran, so he commuted, a very long commute, one must say.
Wow.
He spent 1 month in Munich, 1 month in Tehran, and then it switched over. It became longer and longer in Tehran, which was very difficult on their marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what happened is we attended, which makes no sense at all, we attended the Munich International School based on the American system, where I started to learn to speak English.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, yes.
Yes, and so then we realized that we really had, the only nationality we had was the Iranian, but we didn't want to go back. So therefore we decided to immigrate to Vancouver, Canada. And so we all moved to Canada. I attended the University of British Columbia. And then the revolution happened and my father passed away. So we needed to get his money out. Mom bought carpets and we started, yes, how novel, we started in the carpet business.
Persian rugs, right? Wonderful.
So we failed miserably.
Yeah.
We failed miserably.
Oh my.
And I was hired, though, by a gentleman in New York. I visited New York on a business trip. I'd started working for a competitor, and he hired me, Mr. Einstein from Einstein Mumji in Manhattan.
My
And
goodness.
I followed my dream. I had always known that one day I would live in Paris, which I did for 2 years of my studies, and then came New York, and I was America. So then I met my husband in New York, and I permanently moved to the States. And he was in the nurse staffing industry, so I joined him, and his business really had huge IRS tax issues, and he had to forcibly close it.
Wow.
And so there were a few years of huge trials and tribulations, of the severe ups and downs and challenges, until I then decided to go back into the same business, because there was one thing: I knew that business.
I see. Yes.
You see, the learning curve is huge. Every new business, you know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Every new business you start, you need to learn. You need to learn it.
Yeah.
And so here I said, at least I cut down the learning curve. I know the business. I worked for him. So we started again. It was a huge success.
My.
And then I heard this inner awakening. There was something changing in me. And I really didn't want to know from it. I have to be honest, my business was doing well. And it was, why rock the boat?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's doing great.
Yeah.
But there's that sort of thing called God, universe, source, guidance. And that one was very, very persistent. And as I refused to listen, my business went down and down.
Fascinating. I'm hearing you. It's God. I'm not listening. La, 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 la. I want to do this.
Exactly. I did not want to go into the spiritual business,
wow.
because it was woo-woo for me, and people would look at you like you have two heads, and who wants to be looked at like that? I mean, I'm sorry. But then there was the 2x4 on my head, and the business was done.
Wow.
And I still fought it. And one day we were living in New Jersey, and I was running around our lake, and I was overwhelmed with guilt, with shame. My employees lost their jobs, which really affected me. My nurses had to look for other jobs. Not that they didn't find it,
right.
but it still is. It was difficult for me. Our future was very in question. So as I was running around the lake, as I get to the other side, I feel as if I were going to have a heart attack. I mean, it was pain.
This just all of a sudden came on you?
Yes.
Wow.
Boom. And I said to myself, I asked myself, I wonder if this is a heart attack. And I heard the voice, and it said, no, it's a warning. But if you keep this up, the next time it will be real.
Goodness
and so I was
gracious.
Like, yikes. And then I was given the order, so to speak, or suggestion that follow your father's business. And I knew it was not my physical father. I knew it was of a higher order.
Sure.
And I said, I guess so. I said, and then I heard, just take one step after the other, just move forward. And after that, there was a peace that came over me. I said, okay, I understand. I'm going to go for it. So we sold the house, we moved to Florida, and I came out of my spiritual closet.
My goodness.
Declared myself, okay, here I am.
Wow. I mean, you know, it's beautiful to hear it in the way that you told the story. And people often do, I mean, certainly I can say that I'm guilty of this over some courses of, you know, eras in my life, where well, a couple of things. One, you hear the voice, if you will, you know, I call the voice God. So you hear the voice of God, but because I think, as you so well stated, you're in a good place. And you're like, why should I change? I mean, and you start making up, oh, well, that's probably not God. I've got 10 voices in my head, and it's probably just, you know, somebody else. So there's that. And then there's others who are not listening at all, who don't hear a voice. Would you agree with this in terms of
absolutely
following, you know, of yeah. hearing, you know, sort of where we're going with our lives?
Absolutely. What we do is we rationalize everything. Mm. Oh, that couldn't be true. When we have a good fortune, what do we most often say?
Right.
That's unbelievable. Why is it unbelievable? We accept bad fortune without saying, oh, that's unbelievable. No, we say, oh, it happened to me. But when some good fortune, we go, oh, that's unbelievable. Why do we do that? When we get guidance, we push it away as if it were something bad. I don't know. Then we put the doubt in. We put all of the logic, the rational mindset yes. comes in, and we start with the doubting and with the worrying and no, that couldn't be possibly true. And unfortunately, what we do is we make the path that we have to walk on a lot more difficult. Because the more we resist, the more counter resistance we must get.
You know, how do people clear the fog in their heads and begin to this process of listening, you know, whether you call it your inner voice or God, again, that's how I would refer to it. But, you know, how do you begin this process of taking your mind and your spirit to another level so that you can start hearing the higher voice? Because probably I would say, Marina, that most perhaps a larger swath of people don't do that because they don't really have faith.
It is the age-old conflict between the rational and the spiritual, the physical and the spiritual. And I think in our world, in today's, in this universe that we are living in, we have put too much emphasis on the physical, on the material, on the things that that we can touch, that we can see, and that we make sure we can see. Meantime, we are on Zoom, and help me out, but I can't see the lines that connect you and me together, yet we believe it, that it's true because we have the physical evidence. You and I are sitting here.
Wow.
But we doubt it when it comes from a higher source. We go, that couldn't be. And I wonder why we do that. And it's very simple. We were told that if it's in the Bible, it's true. But after that, it's as if they locked up this box and said, after that one, it can't happen again anymore. It's illogical. If there was a time that God could come through and speak and the angels could come through and speak to us directly, why would they have closed up shop? Why would the connection have stopped? It hasn't stopped. We have shut down. It is on us. It is on us to open the channels of communication and say, I hear you. And if certain thoughts are not yours, guess whose they are? Of a higher nature. And we also have negative voices.
Yes.
I also would like to suggest that not all thoughts, especially negative thoughts that are foreign to us, that they are ours. And I'm saying thank you to negative thoughts and go, I appreciate your concern. And now leave me alone. And I cleanse my vibrations, my energy, because we're vulnerable. We get affected by other negative things. It happens, let it go. But when I get higher inspiration, I'm going, yay, I'm going with it. Is it going to be necessarily, is your journey going to be easier? There are challenges still, but it will be easier because you're lighthearted. You have faith, you have certainty, you have trust. You're walking on a higher vibration. And guess what? It just made your journey so much lighter.
Wow. And Marina, the challenges are necessary, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. if we watch a movie, an adventure movie, and nothing happens, A, would be interested, B, would the hero achieve anything? No. Would he develop? Would he grow? Would he expand? No, he or she, let's be fair, nothing. So in life, I have learned that whatever has happened to me has happened for me. It helped me to become the person I am today. And I am grateful for all the challenges that have happened to me. And I wow. obviously must have chosen them, but they made me who I am. Wow. And I'm happy.
Wow. You know, have you ever read this? It's a poem or a prose, or it's kind of like a story. It's called, I believe it's called The Sun and the Little Soul. Have you ever read this?
I heard that one. Yes. Yes. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it goes to what you're speaking of right yeah. now. And I won't go through the whole thing, but the idea is almost, I'm trying to remember if this is something I've created in my head over, because I haven't read it in a while, but it's almost the idea that you should in some way thank mm-hmm. the person that was brought into your life to give you a really hard time yeah. because it gives you the opportunity to learn how to say forgive or love.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's an amazing yeah. thing. And and that's hard to do. I mean, I'm not going to profess here that when somebody egregiously does me wrong, that I can just say, you know, thank you. You've made me a better person. Maybe down the road, I do think that. But at the moment, it's, you know, it's more visceral. And but in some ways, we do have to thank those people who bring great challenges to our lives. Not that we keep them there or seek them out, by the way. But
but they're necessary when they appear. Mm-hmm. I believe almost that there is a contract made ahead of time mm-hmm. that people take on certain roles to either make or break us.
Wow.
And there is something in there. And so therefore, I feel that I'm human, after my initial...
I'm not liking this.
I'm feeling anger because, I mean, yes, I have that.
Sure.
So, and then I have learned more and more to let go. I've now also started to take, I'm taking a course in hypnotherapy. Mm. And I have to tell you, it is probably the most fascinating, mind-boggling practice that I know of. And what it is doing to me, as my buddy and I, he's a doctor, we practice excessively because we both are like driven by having this knowledge and this capacity to access the unconscious. But what I have learned is to take control and lower the temperature, get more in touch with my true being, with my self, no judgment, no criticism, and just go to that inner point, the central space here, calm down, and then I take a deep breath. And when I make a decision and I feel peace and calm, I know that's the right decision and everything falls into place.
Wow, that's fascinating. At least for me, there's so much really to unpack there. I want to begin by asking this because I've heard this many times. I certainly even in the Christian tradition, they talk about surrendering to God and these sorts of things. So, but I want to ask a very practical question here and break down this idea. When you say let go, one, what do you mean? And even more, how do you do that? I mean, how do you just let go? You know, I'm under pressure. I've got, you know, so much stress. How does somebody just let go of that?
It's probably the toughest thing ever, yeah, ever. I've been the white knuckler holding on. So what happened is that I learned to let go of the physical stuff. That was the first step.
Okay.
Story was that my husband, as I hinted at, my husband's business went from very good to catastrophe, and it happened. It was an IRS situation, and it was in 1993, March of 1993, no, September of 1993, that the IRS came to our house. I was 6 months pregnant, had a two-year-old, and they took every piece of furniture that they could carry from dawn till dusk out of our house. And the accounts were frozen. The house was really also confiscated. So
wow,
that was very challenging. And you know, it's not, people lose things through fires and floods.
Yes.
And but this one, on top of it, there was shame and embarrassment attached to it. Because you don't really go around and go, "Hey guys, guess what? The IRS just came and they confiscated my stuff.
Sure,
I'm so proud."
Sure.
It was horrible. It was
very
horrible. And so that was letting go of stuff. I had to let go of my stuff, and I realized it never belonged to me to begin with.
Oh,
I am a custodian. Enjoy while you have it. And when it is no longer yours to have, let go of it. And I prayed and hoped that it would go to people who would treasure it as much as I did. That helped me to let go. Then, though, came more of letting go. It was 2 years ago that someone suggested to read Michael Singer's book, The Surrender Experiment. And there are no such things as coincidences. I loved the book because he too experienced that the IRS and FBI, in his case, came to his facility and they also confiscated and said,
wow,
look at that. But he spoke of surrendering and letting go. And I thought, I got that. So I was done with the book. I was writing my book. I was three quarters done. It was July, and we had been renting in West Palm Beach a condo for, by that time, 7 years. And the feeling came up that he would be selling it. It had been on the market for 6 years. Beautiful condo for the life of him. On the water, he couldn't sell it. I knew that God was protecting me because it was not our time to move. I was very clear.
Interesting.
But I got this feeling and I said to myself, I think the time is up. Got the call. Guys, it's under contract. You have 30 days. Now, 30 days is very little time when you don't have a place to move to.
Yeah.
The hottest real estate market Florida had seen in decades, and impossible to find anything. So first thing I did, I closed the computer and I started searching. We found something, and I made sure that I changed it from 30 days to 40 days. But then we found something perfect, very good, under contract, only to find out that the owner had a lien of $4 to $5 million on the apartment, and it was a medical liability. Having been in the business, I know that can take forever.
Yeah.
So I'm going, oh my God, what are we doing now? In the middle of the night, you know, the famous 3 a.m. Wake up call, the anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. I wake up, I pace back up and down. I go to the lanai and I start meditating, which is my practice every day. But now it's in the middle of the night, emergency. And I hear the voice and it comes through to me. And he said, "Have I ever let you stand without being there for you and supporting you?"
Oh my goodness gracious.
I said, "No." "So why would I do it now?" And I said, "I really don't know. No reason." And then I heard,
wow,
and it moves me every time.
Please, absolutely.
He said, "Surrender, let go, let go. Let go of what is not yours to do. Let us guide you, and you do what you must do. Have trust, have faith, and have certainty. Everything is okay. Everything will turn out better than you think." And that was that.
You know, that's, oh, what a really just a profound story that has so much to it about letting go, but also the idea right at the end there where you talked about, you know, have faith.
Okay.
You know, I tell people all the time, and this goes for me too. I don't preach to people. Trust me, I have too much of my own crap that I need to solve to be a preacher. But I tell people all the time that, you know, when life is good, faith is not a factor. You just go along. It's when things are tough that you have to develop this faith. And that story is so beautiful that lends itself to that. You know, I have a dear friend who is struggling with a relationship that, you know, went on for a couple of years, and she treasured the relationship, and it just suddenly, I guess you could say, you know, died on her. He just decided it's not working, and in a very short order, dissolved the relationship. And of course, you know, I think about it, you know, because she's a dear friend, and I came across this statement. I just pulled it up on my phone again that just a couple of days ago, and made me think about this and about what you're saying. It's a little bit of a different twist about what you're saying, but it says, when it's over, leave. Don't continue watering a dead flower.
I also feel that it's like when you're driving your car, mm-hmm. and the energy has run out. The tank is empty. You have to fill it with new energy. And if in this case it is a new relationship, so be it. You cannot mourn that what we have had. Walt Whitman had this beautiful poem with the grass, with the summer, and don't mourn what has been, but rejoice in what you have. And I think this is the best thing to say, is that we have to let go what is no longer ours. We enjoyed it, we had it, I cherish it, it's wonderful. But guess what? Why wouldn't God lead me to another pasture, a beautiful pasture where I experience something new? Don't hold on to something that is gone. Look forward and just go with God and go with the power.
Wow, I mean, that's so moving. And it's also, it resonates from the standpoint that I just get what you're saying there, that, you know, one, you don't necessarily have to be angry and in deep mourning and pain. Although, I mean, certainly we all understand that when you lose a loved one or any type of loss, we understand that.
It's a cleansing, but, yes.
Yes, there's a that's a good point, that there's a cleansing that has to take place. But you can also, as you just said, look at the circumstances that I had this, you know, let's just for the sake of argument, I possessed this for a couple of years. It was beautiful. It's no longer mine.
Yeah.
I now need to move on. And wish that person or that situation, then, as you said, that somebody else is able to, or whatever. Yeah. Boy, that's incredible.
It's let go to let in. Because when there are voids, the universe fills it. Mm-hmm. The universe cannot fill something that is already filled. So when there is a void, in my case, after what happened, after I let go, guess what? The universe sent me signs. On the monitor of my computer, I saw something flash through, and I knew it was a hint. I followed the hint. It worked. I opened my phone. There was a number I should call. I called the number. Led to the other. But what I did every day through the challenge, and this I hope that your audience will listen and hear. When a little bit of doubt, and of course it's normal, it was challenging. When doubt entered my head, I started to go on a walk. I slowed down and I stopped racing and running. I slowed down and I repeated, faith, certainty, trust. Everything is going to turn out better than I think it will. The universe is rearranging itself for my best interest right now. Everything will turn out better. I kept seeing it and reinforcing it. And as I did, and I stood taller, I walked taller, and I got my gumption back, and I said, okay, time to let go and to move forward. That is, we do need to lift ourselves up And when we are, and this is unfortunate with the pandemic, we lost our community, the support of one another. I love that when we are reaching out to others, give me a hand, talk, let's be together. But also the connection with spirit is fundamental.
Whew. You know, that's just such beautiful words, you know, that you're sharing there, Marina. I will also say, I guess, you know, as a maybe I suspect that some of our listeners are maybe thinking, well, maybe Marina just has a special connection or something like this, that it's not maybe for the average person, because what you're describing and some of the things that have happened in your life, it's not something you hear every day. And, you know, I mean, so what do you say about the skeptic or the person who just thinks, well, you know, just Marina has a different mind. She is able to see things that we can't. I mean, is what do you say to that?
Maybe we have plugs in our ears. Maybe we don't listen. Maybe we doubt too much. Maybe we are too much in our rational mind. And if we don't find answers, logical answers to things, we dismiss them. How often do we dismiss things? This morning, there was a sudden flash that said, you must look at your email. And I could have dismissed that, but I said, no. When I feel that, do it. And there was your email just making sure that I would be on. But there was that flash going. And I thought, if I don't listen, then maybe you would think, oh, I won't be on today. But it's these little flashes that we shouldn't disrespect, disregard, just kick out because they're meaningless. And it's called training and practice. Right. I was not born... Or maybe I was, but there is the great forgetting, what I call the great forgetting. Mm-hmm. As we enter the atmosphere of this planet, we forget who we are. We forget that we are divine beings in a physical incarnation, a physical experience. We forget our connection to spirit. We forget that we are a part of God. And each and every one is a part of God. And when we train ourselves, when we start listening, and when we start taking courses, read books, expanding our knowledge and our connection, meditation, expand it, work on it, because that's the channel of communication. Yes, it will happen to you too, to everyone.
Wow. You know, boy, that is just so good. You know, and we haven't even really talked about your book. May I make a sort of this hard break and just ask you about your book, and just maybe just sort of perhaps almost a cliche question of, and you've kind of described it a little bit, maybe we're moving that direction, but just tell us what inspired you to write this book? Where did it come from?
But it came from the fact that when we speak to God, maybe that was my clue. And don't we all ask, show me the way? You have an idea, or maybe sometimes you don't have an idea. Help me with an idea.
Yeah.
Show me the way. Take my hand and walk me to the promised land. And pretty much the idea, the concept with this book is a guidance tool. Now, what I learned is through my coaching and through my programs is that the foundation of everything is you. The foundation of everything is me, is within me. I live within me, inside of me. And if my household here inside is not balanced, is not harmonious, is not peaceful, is not working with one another, because we do have the duality, we must have the duality, otherwise there's no moving forward. but it needs to be in harmony. So I decided that's part one, and I will work on the being happy, because there is no such thing that when we have something, then we will be happy. We have to be happy, fulfilled, satisfied, be confident. Then we will do things. And now I go to the practical steps of the responsibility, of the taking action, of the stepping, taking the next step. And then I close the book with having, as in not having the car in the driveway, but as in having gratitude, forgiveness, love, acceptance.
Wow. You know, no, that's beautiful. Now, I'll tell you, it is also what I do. What really resonates with me, I should say, is that, you know, is that there is the, let's just say the conceptual, the ideas, the imagination, all of these things. But what I really like about what you say, there are also the practical steps. I mean, we can't simply stand around and imagine. At some given point, if you're going to, you know, listen, I mean, if that were the case, I would be, I don't know, I don't know what level I would be at if I could just imagine stuff, because I've got this incredible imagination. But when I was younger, I loved daydreaming and imagining things. But at some given point, I think it was when I joined the military, they were like, okay, well, can you imagine that over there? Well, start walking and get to work. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Right, I mean, it's important.
We are in the physical world.
Yeah,
so yes, we world. Do. We Very do nice. Have to do the physical things, because God can guide us, but guidance is guidance. It's not called doing for us.
I love that. Yeah, Marina, you talk about in your book about, you know, finding purpose in your life and these sorts of things, and you know, I'd just love to hear just a little bit about your thoughts about, you know, how we find purpose, and, you know, even if it's a practical step towards, you know, finding purpose in a more fulfilling life. Because I will go back to the premise that I brought up earlier in my monologue, and that is that, and I'm guilty of it too, you know, that we pursue success and achievement and these sorts of things. I think we're probably more or less hardwired for that, I guess. But you know, being fulfilled is different than achieving success. Tell us just a little bit about your thinking there, purpose and fulfillment.
But the thing is this, there's nothing wrong with being successful. And very often when we go the very spiritual walk, we dismiss the success. I think there's a one can marry the two. But if we only strive for success, that is very empty. It's hollow. The only way that we can find fulfillment is by having a purpose. Now, purpose and meaning. If we don't have meaning in our lives, things that mean something to us, and it's different probably for every one of us, it can be as simple as a meaningful relationship. And that's really not that easy. For me, what brings meaning to my life is the work that I do. And it lights up my day. Now that, as I said earlier, I added hypnotherapy to it. I can't wait to read more about it, to study more, to practice it more, to apply it more. It just makes me jubilant. So that brings me meaning. Meaning for me is helping other people, and I've done a lot of work with my group spiritual activism, which now I'm not really a participant in it, but it gave me meaning that I could be there and shed light, enlightenment to others, give them some of me to help them. And in return, here's the key, they brought wisdom and love and appreciation and whatever to me. It's that continuous back and forth. Purpose for everyone is different, but it always includes others, what we do for others.
You know, I oh boy, that's so good. I want to just connect this idea. I had mentioned I hope I'm staying in the theme of what you're talking about right now, but I mentioned earlier that I ran a Sunday school class for 10 years. I was asked to do this, and my first thought was, you know, I can remember one Bible verse, you know, from when I was a kid. I don't know. I'm not a scholar. I'm probably not going to sit down and prepare this whole lesson. It's not my style. It's not the way that I roll. I mean, maybe I'm thinking logically, but here's what I did. I started asking myself, I was self-aware, and I realized that, okay, maybe, you know, God is moving me or whatever. So what I decided was, you know, Kevin, why don't you approach things the way that, where you feel gifted, where you would find meaning in what you're doing and purpose and all these sorts of things. And so I decided to just be the person that shows up and asks questions. And it was so beautiful. It turned into a that's what turned into a beautiful thing. And more people started coming to this because they heard about it, because it was just a question that I threw on the table. And when people looked at me for the answer, I'm like, I'm asking the questions here. You know, and then we had another person in our group who was, you know, pretty much a scholar, you know, and if I needed to know, I would say, Gloria, what was that? There's a verse in the Bible, something about that. Oh, she'd go, oh, yeah. And that's the way that it was so beautiful. So I guess my point is that when you start to look for these sorts of things, your purpose, you know, the things that fulfill you, that you, I don't know, is there a question in there somewhere, Marina? Do you see where I'm going with this?
What you're saying is that what you did brought you joy.
Yes.
What you did is it brought you joy and it brought joy to others. Mm. What greater purpose could there be in life? Mm. And you did it in a beautiful way by not being the professor sort of and there the preacher, go. But you came from your heart.
Yes.
And it is the essence of who we are is from the heart. And if our world could come to understand that when we think from the heart, that we become unstoppable. This is the place, heart space, wow, is where we need to think from. This is the rational, nothing against it, but they need to be in harmony. But if the heart is not the leader, then we're in trouble. And you went with the heart.
Yes. You know, again, whether it was knownly or not, you know, in part, I almost thought it was survival. But then again, as I started thinking about it, I was just, you know, you have to, you know, I'm going to leave it at that. You do talk about relationships and the role that it plays in happiness. You mentioned it just a moment ago. Would you share just a little bit about, you know, you're thinking, I mean, I think intuitively we all can say, yes, of course, you know, good relationships play a role in your happiness and this, that, and the other. But what do you say about that, Marina?
I think that our relationships are truly under attack. I spoke recently to a young lady, 24 years of age, who is, her relationship is with the telephone and with social media. And that's really not a real relationship, obviously. Mm. And probably your listeners are going, duh. Mm-hmm. But but the key is we get sucked into this little machine and replace our relationships with emojis, as I call it, with emojis, hashtags, and likes. And that's the extent of our relationships. We forget how to form relationships. Another client of mine, through very tragic and I must say probably karmic events in her life, she sort of lived very, very isolated from society. Mm-hmm. And now she's starting to reemerge and go into society. And it's a little bit challenging because she has to make new connections. She has to learn to trust people again. She has to really get to know people again. And I'm guiding her to start with one. But it is the key to our life is the richness of a relationship. And we must cherish them and also work them. Mm. It's not good enough to think of some person and go, I'll call them one day. Pick up the phone. make a date, go see them, be together, the physical touch, touching each other, talking to each other. And it's not necessarily only a part life partner or a spouse, but it is other people. We need the human community. And we have become over decades now. It started when I looked at it in my research. It started a little bit, the radio replaced the coming together, people would talk. Then came the radio, then came the TV. And it was now the family sat together, but not the community anymore. Mm-hmm. Then came the computer and the internet, and people would sit on their internet.
Wow.
And not talk to each other anymore. Do you see where we're going? Mm-hmm. Then came the telephone, and we sit together potentially, and everyone is on their phone, not together. And then we would sit in our rooms and close the door and be with our phone. The end of the relationship. And that is the greatest loss of all, because it is not the one that can do it, but it is all of us becoming one. And the unity of us together, the strength of the group, the community. And yes, there will be challenges. Of course, there's nothing that it has no challenge. But what richness in being together. And I started it when I ventured out in a new community, joining Toastmasters. I started to meet people, like-minded people. Mm. Oh, how delicious.
Goodness. I have a couple of more questions for you before we wrap this up. And one of them is about the idea of happiness, and sometimes, and then the next question I'm going to ask you about the GPS, because that when you said that, when we spoke at the summit, and you, I mean, I just immediately went, I get that, you see. So about happiness though, what are some of the, you know, maybe one or two of the big misconceptions about happiness that people have?
That happiness is having things, having success, having material objects, having the house. It's not in having, it is all about being. And I saw that in Neil Donald Walsh's book, where he said, humanity's got it wrong. God spoke to him and said, humanity's got it wrong. We believe when we have something, then we will be something. And that is not true. We have to be something, and the have will follow suit. So we need to rethink and, again, live from within where we live, our inner world. Be happy in your inner world, and everything else will fall into place. When you raise your inner vibrations to happiness, to euphoria, you can't always be euphoric, but you can be joyous. You attract people, like-minded people to you. So change your being, your state of being, to happiness, to positivity, and the rest will take place. It may take time, but it will follow suit.
Well, so again, my first thought is that maybe the audience is going, and maybe the answer in part lies in the GPS idea. But, you know, my first thought is that, okay, well, okay, how do you just be, you know, how do you have a thought or a tip, you know, maybe even for those listening going, I mean, where in the world do I even start to just be and not necessarily have?
Okay, excellent question. And it is finding out who you are. And that is very challenging, because we have these images of ourselves. Most of them are negative. And I remember myself looking in the mirror going, oh, shoot, I'm getting older. I'm getting wrinkles. Oh, I don't like that. And when we were younger, and I look at those pictures now, I go, my God, I wish. And so it is throughout our lives, we look at ourselves with somewhat of, at times, contempt, dislike. And it is when what we need to do to start this being is to start a relationship, be back to the relationship, a relationship with ourselves first. Mm. It is not an easy journey, but it is the most rewarding journey. And it happens by learning to like yourself. We cannot mm-hmm. start dating ourselves and go, oh my God, I'm so in love with myself. Mm. But liking ourselves, accepting ourselves, respecting ourselves. I remember that I lacked confidence no matter what I achieved. Yeah. I was just insecure and just always, I'm not good enough. Just not good. And that is something that we are born with because of the negativity of this universe. That there is not enoughness, but the true not enoughness is our spiritual values. Mm. So work on yourself. Start saying, I am enough. Look in the mirror.
The great connect. I am.
I am. Mm. And learn to like yourself. Yeah. And truly, get books, take courses. I did it. It's out there today more so than ever. When there is a crisis in life, a guide will appear.
Wow.
Listen.
Oh, I love that. You know, and part of what I'm getting from you right now is also, and maybe a good place for some to start, because where you start obviously depends on where you're at, you know, sort of, you know, if you're not even just curious about who am I or the idea of just being versus having. If you're not, you know, so maybe the first place is somewhat of a curiosity, of a question, of just making a decision. I think I'm going to, because like you said, the information's out there. I think I will just start exploring this idea of more being than having. And just start, because you just said it, it's really a journey. It's not something that you're just going to pick up this book and go, okay, I'm done with it. Even in the Christian tradition, which I'm most familiar with, you can't simply read through the Bible and then go, okay, I got it. I mean, it takes study and understanding. Yeah, it's much deeper. So last question is about the idea of your GPS for happiness. I just love that. GPS to happiness, I should say. Please tell us about this notion of having a GPS. I don't even know if I know what GPS stands for. What is it?
It's the global navigation system. There you go.
That's it.
Okay. So here's what I saw. The roadmap. Mm. You speak of roadmaps. Mm. And so what I saw was that life is like driving in a car. So you're looking to the future. Your GPS leads you to your future. Mm-hmm. And you have one focal point. It's out there. You also look in the back rear view mirror. You need to know what is behind you. Mm. That does not mean that you have to constantly go look like this, mm-hmm. because A, you crash. B, you wouldn't be going forward. You always must have a point that you're driving towards, a focal point.
Very interesting.
And the more focused that point is, the more you have refined it, the clearer the journey. The vaguer you are, the broader, and you're all over the road. So one destination, you're not driving to New York or maybe Toronto. Oh my God, maybe I think I'd rather go to North Carolina. No, you're driving to New York. One focal point, specific. Figure it out. You also, so you have your past is your guidance, because it's behind you, but it's also leading you. The left and right, you must pay attention. It informs you. You have to keep an eye on the left and right. But the focal point is forward. So having said that, is you need to, and I've learned this now, even more so with hypnotherapy, is focus on one item. Visualize in your mind's eye, seeing yourself a year from today. See it in big, bold colors, as if it were a movie screen. See your relationships, your finances, your careers, whatever is important to you. See it on this screen. See yourself on that screen a year from today. And then what you can do is walk it back 3 months. What did I have to do to achieve what I got a year from today? You don't need to know the exact steps, a feeling, an awareness. Take it 3 months back from that. What did I have to do to achieve that? Take it another 3 months back. And there you see it again. And then you bring yourself to the here and now. And you go, okay, I get it. If I want to reach, it's a roadmap. If I want to reach that, I must go here, there, and over there. Wow. That's how I get there. And to close this is hold that image of yourself a year from now in your mind's eye. And when doubt hits, you can squeeze your thumb and forefinger together in this euphoric state. Keep that as your anchor. Remind yourself, that's where I'm driving to. Don't forget it now. Don't let all the other fluff to the side. Let that go. Keep your focus. Keep your eye on the road.
Wow, what a fascinating concept and visual to help people know really not just how to move forward, because I think to your point, it's not enough to just say, well, I want to go west. I mean, that's the same thing as saying, I want to be happy. Well, maybe get it down to a place where you can just have defined happiness a little bit more. And again, I don't think you're saying that this needs to be like, of course, the clearer it is in your mind, the better, but it doesn't have to be like this crystal clear thing. You begin moving in a direction and begin to refine it as you go along. Yes,
exactly. You start broad. You always start broad. In my book, I saw this vision of a pyramid. What is a pyramid? Pyramid is broad at its base.
Very interesting.
Really broad at its base. That's the foundation of every project, everything in life. We start broad. That's the foundation. And all our failures become fillers between the blocks. You cannot move forward without having had failures. You need to make your foundation blocks stronger, and you need to glue them together. Fillers, failures are fillers. As you move forward, you become more and more laser sharp focused. But that is the journey, is the pyramid. And that is also as you drive, that's what you're doing.
So beautifully stated. You know, I get so excited when I have a guest like you that, you know, to your point, we have an idea of where we're going with the conversation, but it's not so refined that we can't build it as we go along. And that's, to me, this is exactly what has happened here today. And I'm so grateful, Marina. Listen, before we go, you know, I know you're a coach and obviously an author, but you're also a speaker. And so I want people to know where they can reach out to you. And listen, I don't need to say, hey, I mean, the evidence of what she can produce for you as a coach or a speaker is it's evident in this conversation. But tell people where they can find you, where they can find your book, whatever you like. Of course, it'll all be in the show notes, but I still love to ask my guests to share.
They can visit my website, and that is UGPS to Happiness. And it is connected to my other website, which is Dream a Better Dream Now. Mm-hmm. So it's all one, but if to make things simple, your GPS to happiness would be .com, would of course be the website. And in there, you can connect with me and you can reach out to me for questions or whatever it is. And of course, the book is on Amazon.
And it's a bestseller on Amazon. I might bring up a five-star.
It was a bestseller.
So
yeah.
Forth. So
I had a five-star review.
We may have to come back and talk about your dreams book.
It
sounds fascinating, yes, as well.
Yes, but I saw in with that book is to make this world a better place. Mm. And we all want that, don't we? Mm.
Well, we certainly do. And I can say easily that even in this short conversation, Marina, there's no question in my mind that the people listening and watching, that their lives are improved by just this moment in time. And I can't thank you enough for being such a gracious and wonderful guest. You know, thank you so much for being on Grow Yourself.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless you.